This is an Energy Sport podcast. Insightful, in-depth and entertaining sports content from Napier to you. This is the Fantasy Ramble, the best student-run FPL show in the country. Join our panel as they take you through the biggest fixtures from each Premier League game week, giving you their advice on how to succeed in your FPL mini-leagues. Expect in-depth discussion, wild takes and plenty of laughs right here on the Fantasy Ramble. Hello and welcome back to the Fantasy Ramble. My name is Jack Donnelly and this is technically the third time that I've introduced this podcast. We're up in the levels here at Energy. You will have heard the Energy Sport podcast intro and then the Fantasy Ramble podcast intro, both of which had, as Sean McGill called it, nails on a chalkboard voice. But that's one man's opinion. So I don't mind my voice at all. I think it's not too bad. But we're up in the levels, a bit more production value here at Energy Sport these days. I'd say we're up in the budget, but we don't have a budget to up. So realistically, we're just trying to improve as much as we can. It's been vastly needed. So we've made the improvement and we're going from there. All the podcasts from kind of now are going to have those intros. You had the first one on Energy Extra Time yesterday. But this is the first kind of podcast specific intro we'll have done. So good for us, I suppose. And that'll be my lovely voice introducing every single Energy Sport podcast from now on. And I think you're incredibly lucky for that, listener. That's something you can look forward to. But this is, of course, the Fantasy Ramble, Energy Sport's flagship fantasy football podcast. And as always, I'm joined by some of Napier's finest FPL managers to discuss the upcoming set of Premier League fixtures. Starting off, we have Mr. Struan Garvey. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, not bad. Thank you for a nice introduction.
Very welcome. Glad it's Friday.
Yeah, I'm glad it's Friday, to be honest. It's been quite a quick week, I've personally felt, but I mean, the football midweek is probably what's breaking it up there.
Absolutely. I'd be inclined to agree with you. We are also joined by Mr. Jamie McIntosh. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Where's my lethal left foot introduction today then?
I've had too many fan complaints.
Oh, well, come on.
More just Graham. He started phoning my house. He started messaging my mum on Facebook. Like, it got out of hand and I had to appease him. But you know what? Most lethal left foot in... Well, what part of Edinburgh are you from?
Edinburgh. Edinburgh West. That's my
Well, lethal left foot in West Edinburgh. There you go. That still does the job, and Graham can stop being a baby about it as well. We're also joined by the best host of Extra Time. It's Mr. Cameron Wanstall. Good to have you back on, mate.
Thank you very much. So I had to do one segment on Extra Time the last 20 episodes, and all of a sudden I'm the best host. That's good to know.
There you go. Sean made fun of my voice yesterday, so that's just... Yeah. It's your show, not his. That's what I say.
Thank you.
Very
so
welcome. We are going to crack on, but one thing we will mention right at the start of this episode is that this batch of fixtures is technically a double game week because there are four teams playing two fixtures between now, which is Friday, and Wednesday coming. Those teams being Manchester City, Everton, Burnley and Fulham. So you've got the usual Pep Guardiola roulette to look forward to. You've got a Dominic Calvert-Lewin-sized headache looking forward as well, whether he'll play at all. And then Burnley and Fulham players, whether you include any from either of those two teams, that is completely up to you. Right, we are going to get this show on the road right now. We're going to try something different and kind of split up a wee bit with some of the transition noises on Anchor. So yeah, we are going to get started with our first segment, which is the premium picks. And this, of course, is the premium picks section. This is where we look at the three biggest games in our eyes from this batch of Premier League fixtures. And of course, we do have an extra two to pick from. But I've not got down either of those extra two, despite the fact that they are available to us, because they're not the most exciting. Right, the first game we're going to talk about comes as the first game of the weekend, in fact, as Leicester take on Liverpool at the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday at the King Power Stadium. Neither team got a win in their last fixture. It was a 0-0 draw with Wolves away at the Molyneux for Leicester. While Liverpool, Cameron won't like me mentioning, but they were on the back of a fairly competent defeat. If a defeat can be competent, it was a bit of a battering at the hands of Man City, losing 4-1 at home and losing 3 in a row at Anfield for the first time in the Premier League era. Sorry, Cameron.
It's all right. I called a 4-0 demolition on extra time. I was spot on. I'll take it.
Yeah, it did better than you could have hoped for, really.
Yeah, yeah. You actually got a goal. Three goals. Yeah, yeah, true, true. That makes it all better.
Does it, though?
Nah, not quite.
Well, the biggest news coming into this fixture, lads, is, of course, Big Jimmy Justin. He is out for the rest of the season. He has suffered an ACL injury and will not play another minute of Premier League football this season. Struan, it's going to be a massive miss for Leicester. You mentioned just before recording, he's played every single minute of this season and has looked fantastic, filling in for the absent Ricardo Pereira, who himself was recovering from a substantial injury. How are Leicester going to cope without their kind of young starlet at the back?
I think it's going to be a massive loss because he's also filled in over at left back when Castagna has sort of played in at right back or when Ricardo Pereira has come back into the team. And I think he's just been one of those players who's just, he's just improving every game and slowly, but he's just another one of these English right backs, isn't he, coming through that's getting tipped to the Euro places and stuff like that. But it will be a massive loss, especially given that he has played every single minute of the season, you know, regardless of anything else, just to lose somebody part of the furniture at this point in the season is horrible. And for him at such a young age to have a really bad injury like that must be pretty heartbreaking.
I mean, we know how good he's been at the back, but he's also been good in terms of attacking contributions. So with that in mind, would we be looking at other Leicester defenders to perhaps plug that gap in our teams that Justin will have left? Because I'm sure a number of us listening and on today's panel will have had Justin starting in their teams. So would we perhaps look at someone like Wesley Fofana, maybe kind of go up in price a little bit, look at Ricardo Pereira if he's coming back into things? Or would we be looking elsewhere? I'll open that up to anyone who wants to chip in there.
I think I'd personally look at Ricardo Pereira if I'm looking at another Leicester defender. I'm normally against going for centre-halves, especially this season where clean sheets are few and far between. And I think last season, Ricardo Pereira was probably one of the best. It's sort of been forgotten due to the bad injury that he suffered in the summer, but he was one of the best fullbacks in the Premier League throughout the whole way last season, both offensively and defensively. He was really good, so I think he's maybe somebody who probably will fill the gap for Leicester on that right-hand side to an extent, but I think as well, just in a fantasy, he's a good shout to go for.
Guys, do we agree with what Struan's saying there, or are we looking elsewhere for a replacement for Justin?
Yeah, it is a tough one. I think Johnny Evans has actually been quite like in form in FPL points. I swear he was quite at the top of like the form point standing when I was looking at defenders earlier, but yeah, I think there's probably just more options elsewhere. Like, Liverpool are likely to score against Leicester, so it's not like you're going to get clean sheet points this week. So I think Struan's right, Ricardo Pereira is probably the best choice, but there's no harm in going elsewhere.
No harm at all. Jamie, maybe someone like, I don't know, contemporary fullbacks, maybe an Aaron Cresswell if you didn't have him in already, someone like that.
Yeah, I've got Aaron Cresswell on my team. Matt Target is doing very well for Aston Villa. He seems to have got quite a lot of assists this season. But that is important because Villa haven't really kept that many clean sheets. I do think the boys are right to mention Pereira. He was very good last season and he's just starting to kind of get kind of fitness going again, I think. So it may be a bit early to bring him in, but certainly if Justin obviously is out for the rest of the season, I believe Pereira could be a good pick further down the line.
Well, in any case, we are wishing James Justin the speediest of recoveries for our own selfish reasons, of course. Cameron, let's look at Liverpool because they've not been great recently, have they? Just to kind of put a final point on that sentence, it's just not been an enjoyable time for Liverpool at the moment.
No, they've been pretty shocking by their own standards. Even they're not actually doing that badly, but for their own standards, yeah, awful. And I don't think many players FPL terms are doing that great either. Like the only Liverpool player I've still got is Mo Salah, and he's. It's only because I've had to get rid of other players before him and because he can still sometimes pull a goal out the bag, score a penalty maybe. Yeah, they're not doing great at all. I wouldn't trust any of their defenders or Alisson in the team, that's for sure. And they'll definitely be given a game by Leicester, who easily could walk away with all 3 points this Saturday.
But do you think it is going to be that easy? Because, I mean, I think we mentioned this the last time we were covering the reverse fixture. Liverpool just seem to have Leicester's number in the Premier League, and they have done for a number of seasons now. I mean, you always kind of harken back to the Trent Alexander-Arnold show just after Christmas in 2019, where it, the 4-0 demolition at the King Power. Yeah. And that is kind of the one game you remember out of these kind of clashes between these two teams. So it's not really been much different than other fixtures. I mean, do you think this is probably the best chance Leicester would have to get one over Liverpool, or do you think it's just going to be another Liverpool victory in this clash between the two?
No, I think this is definitely the best chance. So that 4-0 was amazing. I remember watching it, what a game. But I think that was more just a Leicester team that was about to crumble that year, and they did, and a Liverpool team that was going on to better things, and they did, and collide, and Liverpool just absolutely smashed them. What to like a team 10 divisions above them. But I think this time it is different. Like, Liverpool just still haven't really sorted out their back line. Fabinho's been ruled out again, I think I seen that earlier. So that's another loss in midfield and defence. I still don't think either of the new signings are ready to step in, so they're just all over the place. And Leicester's front line's just been outstanding recently. I know they've lost Vardy, but Maddison, Barnes, Tielemans has been outstanding. Even Iheanacho got a goal the other day. Like, I'm sure we slagged him off on a podcast recently, but even he scored a goal. I just think Leicester will just have a bit about them. I'm not saying it's a definite win, but it's definitely their best chance they've had in years to beat Liverpool, maybe since their title winning season.
I mean, can we call that much of a goal from Iheanacho? I mean, I think you get put in our group chat.
It's just
a quick corner. A head up past a flailing goalkeeper. It was shocking.
There was not 10 men in the box.
There was so many.
And he's just sitting at the back post. I think it's the worst goal I've ever seen. It's proper like schoolboy stuff. It's not even schoolboy stuff. It's like what you see at, like, I don't know, like mini kickers or something, like 5-year-olds. Like, it's embarrassing. It's like, it's actually second-hand embarrassment to watch it. But hey, it's still a goal.
There was a time I actually saw a goal exactly like that in a Premier League game. I was just to derail the conversation completely, I was at Stamford Bridge in about 2014, I want to say, and it was the exact same situation. I think Oscar just picked up the ball from a corner and then just whipped it in while no one from Newcastle was looking, and then Costa put it in. It was the exact same situation. Everybody was going mental, but I was like, not really the good goal that we were kind of hoping for, but goal's a goal, I suppose, at the end of the day. That's, and if that's Iheanacho potentially trying to fill Vardy's boots, he's kind of off to the best possible start with an easy goal to boost the confidence.
Absolutely.
Jamie, what's your thoughts coming at this game? Because I just said to Cameron there about the kind of history of the fixture, but I don't know, this Liverpool team just can turn it on at any moment, realistically, with the talent that they've got.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I've written them off a few times and predicted them to be beaten, and they have always come out with a good performance. That West Ham game would be the prime example recently, where they absolutely controlled the game. I didn't think West Ham were great, to be honest, but I thought Liverpool were excellent that night. And look, as I say, you'd be a fool to write them off. It should be a very good game. They're still the favourites with the bookmakers, and rightly so, but I definitely think there could be a shock on the cards then, if you want to call it that. If Leicester beating Liverpool this weekend would be classed as a shock, then I certainly think we could be in for one of them. But don't write them off.
No, definitely do not write them off. I'm not writing them off whatsoever. I'm actually going to back them this weekend. We're going to come on to our score predictions for this match now. I'm going to say a 2-1 to Liverpool. I mean, I know we've just kind of been quite down on Liverpool as a whole, but it's just one of those games I just can't see past Liverpool in this fixture. I mean, they'll be hurting just now, and we know they're hurting just based on their recent form. And they're just going to kind of want to come out and blow away any cobwebs, blow away any doubters, and just put on a bit of a show, to be honest. And I think Leicester away is the perfect opportunity for them to do that. So I've gone for a 2-1 with Mohamed Salah as the key man, a bit unsurprisingly, because as Cameron said, he's potentially the only worthwhile Liverpool asset to have in FPL just now. Despite the monumental price tag, he still would be worth it in my eyes. But let's open it up. Let's see. Struan, what do you think this game's going to finish as?
I've gone to 3-1 Liverpool, and I've also said Mo Salah to be the key man. I just think this is one of those fixtures where it's a bit like Liverpool and Wolves. Liverpool always just seem to have their number, regardless of the form or anything like that. So I'm gonna stick with that feeling. And maybe that Justin loss could be quite big, especially straight off the bat.
Yeah, very true, very true. Cameron, how about yourself? Are you going to be a bit optimistic?
I'm going to be, more than I was sounding a minute ago. I'm not going to be full pessimist here. I'm going to go 2-2, and sorry, but I'm going to be boring and put Salah as the key man as well. Yeah.
2-2 seems a fair scoreline based on kind of current form as well. So I'm not, I back that shout, to be honest. If you were looking for a more neutral score. Jamie, how about yourself?
1-0. I have no players in this game, in my team. I don't really know which way it's going to go. I got rid of Salah prior to the Manchester City game. And I got rid of Justin a long time ago, actually, and he went on a pretty good scoring run since. And I have been tempted. I've been looking at kind of like somebody like a Maddison soon. But then, I don't know. I've not brought him in yet for one reason or another. I think I've had to kind of use transfers elsewhere. That's kind of why he's not being brought in. So it's a game I'm struggling to call. So I'll just go straight down the middle of my favourite prediction and say 1-0. And I'll go with... is Castagna or Pereira fit in? Are they both?
Both available. Yeah, I think Pereira's played. I think the last few games, and Justin's been on the left.
Right. Ah, well, you know what? Let's go with Maddison. Actually, somebody like Maddison will be the spark. He's got a very good involvement percentage in Leicester's goals recently. So let's go with Maddison to get either a goal or an assist in a 1-1 draw.
Well, there we go. More leaning towards a Liverpool win, but we wouldn't count Leicester out of potentially snatching a point or maybe all three. Right, let's move on and talk about the second of our premium picks. This one coming a bit further north as we travel to the Etihad. Manchester City taking on Tottenham on Saturday at 4:30. We just mentioned it. It was a 4-1 win away at Anfield for City in the last result. While Harry Kane came back into the fray for Spurs at home, getting them the best of the encounter against West Brom, running out as 2-0 winners. It's Pep versus Jose, lads, but... Camden, this just seems so minimal of a clash between the two in comparison to what it has been, what we've seen between the two managers. I mean, is there even any weight to this quote-unquote rivalry anymore?
Yeah, it's definitely... It's not as big as it was. Like, it's not quite El Clasico 5-0 and all that. And it's not even quite City United. But yeah, it's definitely... That's not going to be the main story on Saturday. I think the first premium pick's a bigger story than this one because Spurs are just an absolute eyesore to watch. I know that amazing 5-4 the other night, but that I've already said my thoughts about that on extra time. yeah, it's just a bit of a... Aye, certainly it's lost its spark, hasn't it, between the two?
No, 100%. I mean, there just seem to be just such a disparity in quality between the kind of two at the moment. Like, Jose's kind of snapping at journalists, he's kind of kicking off with his players, he's more inclined in doing betting adverts than anything else, and Guardiola's still trying to fight for City in the Champions League. So, I mean, just night and day compared to what it once was. But as I mentioned there, Kane's back for Mourinho and Spurs, although his involvement off the bench against Everton was minimal, to say the least. What do we think a player like Kane can bring to this kind of fixture? Does he just boost Spurs' chances much more than they would have been without him? I mean, it seems a fairly inane question, especially with a very obvious answer to it, but it should kind of be mentioned how much... quality Kane does bring to a Spurs team that lacks it a lot of the time.
It's going to be an outlet for them in this game. You know, you would imagine Spurs would sit quite deep and try and play on the counter, like they seem to do in most games, whether they're playing, you know, West Brom at home or Man City away, they seem to kind of counter quite well. So, having him back is crucial. It's going to help Son as well. We both know that the pair of them perform much better when they're both in the team. So, you'll provide an outlet for Spurs in a game where, as I say, they'll probably be sitting quite deep. So I would imagine they'll need that outlet. And, he's massive. You know, I'm guessing he's their top goal scorer this season. I don't actually have the figures in front of me.
But... I think goals and assists, I think Kane is for Spurs this season.
I think his joint goals with Son in the league is clear of assists, though.
Fair enough.
Yeah, they're both on 13.
It's massive to have the pair of them. Mm-hmm. Massive to have the pair of them there. So, I'll just give you my prediction now. I'm going for a City win to nil. I'm keeping Ederson in because of the double game week. Diaz is my City defender that I've got in, but obviously he's a doubt, so I might need to take a little look into that. I've not actually watched any of the press conferences today, so I don't know. I know he's a doubt, but I'm not quite sure what Pep said. I don't think he'll play tomorrow. He might, because it's a double game week, though, I'm a little reluctant to take him out because I think he might play one of the games, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely, yeah. It is just the main concern with Manchester City going into a double game week is you just never know which players are guaranteed to start both games. I think Ederson is an absolutely fantastic shout. Just he's consistently good in the Premier League and will start both games regardless. That's why he's my goalkeeper. Tempted to give him the captain's armband just on the back of the fact that he probably will start both games regardless, but Spurs and Everton could see goals against them, but we'll have to wait and see. Struan, I think the goals against City might be exacerbated by the fact that Diaz is a doubt. We know how good he's been. We know how much of a formidable partnership he has formed with John Stones over the past 10 weeks or so. Who do we think is going to come in and replace Diaz if he is to be sidelined for the next couple of games? Would it be a case of Laporte? Would Walker potentially move to centre-back? Would Fernandinho potentially be drafted back in? Like, where do we think Guardiola is going to go with this one?
So I think Laporte will probably come in, to be honest, because I know Ake's injured and Fernandinho picked up an injury at some point as well. He's out. Rodri picked up an injury against Swansea, but he's going to be fit again for this one. But it's a weird one, Man City defenders as well, because obviously we talk about that Pep roulette, and you just have absolutely no idea who he's going to draft in any positions, because they seem to have a different left back every single game, and I think it has been Laporte recently. So it's difficult. I know they're the best team in the league this season, but you just want to avoid Man City players other than basically Ederson, Cancelo, and, well, even De Bruyne is injured now, probably Gundogan.
I think it would be those three, and even still, I'm a doubt with Cancelo. Like, I just don't know if he'll play both games. He didn't play both games in the last double game week. He was left out for the first game, came off the bench, and I think Walker played, so there's a very high chance that Kyle Walker sees some involvement over the next few days or so. Let's move on. Let's talk about some score predictions for this game then. Jamie's given us his. Cameron, how do you see this one finishing?
I think I'm with Jamie. I think I'll say a 2-0, and I wish I had him on my team, but I don't. But I just have a sneaky feeling Raheem Sterling will have a good game, so he'll be my key man.
Key man, I like that. Struan, you've got Raheem Sterling, if I'm right.
I do, but I've gone 2-0 Man City as well, because Spurs are bad, Man City are good, and I've gone for Phil Foden because he is very good, especially against the top six. He has a very good return.
Good shot.
Struan, you and I are eerily similar today.
Did you also go for Philip Foden?
I went Phil Foden in a 3-0 Manchester City win.
Oh, 3.
Which is perhaps a bit of kind of recency bias and overconfidence, but I'd back it. I think City have enough in them to get 3 against... Look, if they score 4 against Liverpool, like, there's no reason to suggest they can't score 3 against Tottenham, who have just conceded 5, sorry, to Everton. So
I was just looking at the Premier League score charts there, just talking about the Tottenham one, and Kane and Son are top 2 with 13 each, and then Spurs' next highest score in the league is Ndombele with 3. Oof. Which I think does just show that...
How overly reliant they are on two players.
Yeah, so if you're going to put a Spurs player in, I think those are the only two in contention. I don't think another defender or midfielder or anything is worthwhile.
I don't even know if I'd bring them in for this game, because I am very confident with City in this.
I already got rid of Kane. I got rid of Son this week, but I took a -8 hit this week, free transfers, and Son was one of them I got rid of, because I don't know, maybe I'll be wrong, but I'm glad you've all backed them not scoring, because I was thinking I made a mistake.
I think it's like partially because I genuinely don't believe it, and then like the other half of me is thinking, well, I've got two City players who could benefit off clean sheet points, so I'm kind of hoping for that at the end of the day.
Yeah. I just don't know how Spurs are going to break them down. Like, I don't even think City will give the ball away. I mean, Jose Mourinho doesn't really like to have the ball anyway. Mm-hmm. And
they've not exactly got, like...
They did get quite lucky last season, I seem to remember, because they won the reverse fixture 2-0, I think, Spurs. But I seem to remember the first goal was a giveaway, and then I think Heung-Min Son just had a one-on-one with Ederson so early on.
Was it not, like, 2 shots to goals or something? There was, like, a...
Yeah, it was a smashing grab, yeah.
Did Lo Celso not get the other one and coming on as a sub or something like that?
Yes, and it was his first touch or something like that.
Yeah, ridiculous. So, I don't know if Lightning can strike twice for Tottenham or not, but... Yeah.
Based on the luck and the kind of form this season, I don't think it would. I think those storm clouds are rolling past that they had this weekend, personally. Right, let's move on to the final of our premium pick games. The two we've just mentioned were kind of the biggest occasions regardless. And then there were a few kind of decent-looking games, but I kind of wanted to pick one that would give us something to talk about with both teams. So I've went with Arsenal versus Leeds as a fairly kind of prominent fixture this weekend.
Back to Arsenal on this show.
The three of us and Cameron back to Arsenal this year. Never. Sunday, 4:30 kickoff at the Emirates. It was a 1-0 loss to Aston Villa last time out for Arsenal. Less damaging than Ralph Boyd predicted, but still a loss at the end of the day. Whereas Leeds kept a clean sheet and Patrick Bamford scored his 100th senior goal as Leeds ran out 2-0 winners at home to Crystal Palace. Jamie, if Callum Wilson is out for 6 to 8 weeks at Newcastle, is Patrick Bamford the natural replacement if you don't already have him?
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose he's probably up there in terms of price. We've spoken, I think we've all spoken, but I've certainly spoken regularly about the strikers in the game being pretty poor at the moment, especially the higher up the price list that you actually go, apart from Harry Kane, to be fair. I guess so. I'm looking at kind of the strikers in that sort of price range just now. I sort of touched on Josh Madja the last time I was on, so I think that would be a fortnight ago or 10 days ago now. I still think he could. We spoke about Fulham having a double game week. I just don't know if he's going to start. You know, Mitrovic hasn't played an awful lot of first team football, but they have been going with kind of Cavallero playing through the middle along with Lookman. Obviously, that's kind of two wingers really playing through the middle. So the fact that they've gone and signed him in the January window would suggest that they want to play him. So hopefully he could perhaps get a game. I would like to see him get a game anyway, because I think there's a good player in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I would. It's more of an experiment though. And depending on where your how much your other strikers are, I suppose that depends on kind of who your third striker is going to be. Obviously doesn't need to play every week, but I don't know. I guess Bamford is. I saw he went up in price actually. Bamford, I believe today.
I think he did. Yeah.
He had a price rise. So clearly, a lot of people are bringing him in due to the injuries or the doubts of kind of Calvert-Lewin and Antonio as well. So I guess so. I guess Bamford is probably a suitable replacement. But Arsenal away, tough game, I suppose. Yeah, I don't know. I think Arsenal win this, though. I'll put that.
What do you reckon?
I think so, yeah. I do fancy Arsenal. I was saying to my pals during the week that I was tempted to bring in an Arsenal attacker because I don't have any Arsenal players in my team. And I was looking at potentially looking at Bukayo Saka at a decent price to bring him in. But I haven't yet. I haven't made my transfer yet because I was sort of hoping to get some tips off you guys before I made my transfers.
No, I've not made mine either. I know for a fact I will end up taking a points hit this week. So probably music to the ears of you, Jamie, who has been kind of, I've been slowly creeping up on in the league, but a points hit for me will probably do wonders for your nerves, because I know you were getting nervous, mate. I've been clinical the past few weeks in fantasy, I have to say.
Not even sure I've bothered to look for you, mate. I've been too busy looking ahead. You know, I'm one of those guys that I'm looking at Raf. I'm not looking over the shoulder at you. You know, I'm just full steam ahead. Can't say. I don't even think you're in the same continent as me at the moment.
Oh wow! Oh, that, I like this. This is good. This is very good. Well, I could go back and search for the messages in the group chat, but I'll not bother. I'll just be happy in my solace knowing that they're there. Right. It was a 0-0 between these two the last time they met, so I don't even know if I could comfortably back Arsenal. Obviously, Pepe was sent off in that encounter strewn, but it's still Arsenal could have had one or two before that happened. Do we see this encounter going similarly, or do you think there's going to be at least a goal?
I think there's going to have to be at least a goal. I think 0-0 is so seldom for Leeds that I think that's maybe possibly the only one of the season. That's probably wrong, but I'm actually going to back Arsenal. You know, they've lost their last two now to Wolves and Aston Villa after building up quite a lot of momentum. I've got three Arsenal players in my team. I've got Saka and Lacazette starting. Probably explains why I'm not very good at fantasy this year. I have three Arsenal players in my team. But I think they'll win this one. I think they have to, you know, because I think this actually puts Leeds above Arsenal with no sort of games in hand or anything like that. And given the, you know, the position of the two clubs on the table, I just don't think Arsenal will be accepting of that, to be honest. So I think they'll have to get things back on track. Actually, I'm just looking at Leeds are already ahead of Arsenal and have a game in hand, so ignore that point I've just made. Arsenal victory for me. And probably quite a high score.
Probably a fair high score. Cameron, there's a few kind of injury doubts for both sides coming into this one. I don't think Kieran Tierney is going to be available. Thomas Partey's still out for Arsenal. But then looking at the Leeds side, Calvin Phillips, I think, is a bit of a doubt coming into this one, and that's well, not really beneficial for fantasy, considering deep line kind of midfielder doesn't really get in amongst the points very often. It's going to be a massive loss for Leeds, you would say, because of how influential he is on that team.
Yeah, definitely, especially in a away game to a team like Arsenal. I have a feeling this will be a high-scoring game, actually. Especially, I didn't know about Kieran Tierney or Calvin Phillips, so that just makes me think more so, because that's two major defensive players for each team missing out. I'm back in Leeds in this one. I think it'll be like I'm being hopeful, optimistic that the Premier League's actually going to throw up some good games, but I'm going to say 3-2 Leeds for this one.
Ooh, I've like
got,
that.
I've got Bamford, so I hope he does well. I've left out Mesley because I think they'll concede. Mm. And I brought in Rafinha. He's been so frustrating because I had him right before the wild card double game week. And then since then, he's been amazing when I dropped him. And now I'm bringing him back and watch him go out of form. But I'm sticking by him. Yeah, I think it'll be a really good... I'm hoping it'll be a really good game. It'll be a 3-2 win for Leeds. And... aye, now, especially now that you've said that, Jack, with those injuries, I think it'll be quite an open game.
I'd like to see an open game between these two because I do think they have a lot of good attacking quality to them.
Yeah.
I'm going 1-1, personally. Just because I don't really see either team kind of getting the upper hand in this game. Like, I would have kind of sided with Arsenal, but they've given me really no reason to trust them. Recently, yeah. They've given me no reason to put faith in an Arsenal win, even in a game like this, a home game against Leeds, who have their defensive problems and bucket loads. So a 1-1 seems like the most sensible and realistic scoreline that I could come up with. And I'll back Bamford just because I think he has kind of proven a lot of doubters wrong this season, and I like to see him doing well. Sorry, Jamie, did we get a score prediction from you? Am I right in saying that, or...?
No, I said Arsenal would win, but I never actually gave you a score prediction. I do think there'll be goals, or I hope there'll be goals. You know, you never want to see a 0-0. This is a game I'll probably watch, so therefore I would quite like to give a high-scoring prediction merely on more hope than expectation. But I'll say 3-2 to Arsenal. I think it has potential. Both teams are a bit leaky at the back, and I think both teams are very good going forward. So I think I could see both teams probably countering each other, and that should mean a few goals, hopefully. So 3-2 to the Gooners, and let's say Saka to be a key player at a good price.
I like that. I like the good player at a cheap price. I like that a lot. Struan, did you give a score prediction there? You said an Arsenal win as well.
Yeah, I said an Arsenal win, but I'll go 4-2 Arsenal with Bukayo Saka to be the man of the match. I know, 4-2. I'm thinking this is going to be a doozy of a game. I really do. I hope. I hope more than anything, to be honest. Because, like Jamie, I think I'll be watching this one.
Well, here's hoping for plenty of action coming out of the Emirates this weekend. That is going to wrap up our premium pick segment for this week. There's plenty of entertainment and a lot of hopeful panellists this time around. What we're going to do, we're going to take a quick look at a few more games in our wildcard options segment. So this is the wildcard options segment of the show. This is where we look at three quote-unquote lesser games, or games that we still wanted to mention but didn't have as much to say about them as we did our premium picks. The first game we're going to talk about, Struan's going to love me for bringing them up, Southampton versus Wolves at 12 o'clock on Sunday. Struan, this is another game that Southampton have literally just played, playing Wolves in the FA Cup, and running out as 2-0 winners in that one. Again, I'll ask, is this going to be representative of this weekend? Because this one potentially has more realism about it, of Southampton getting another win, than they did over Arsenal, where they beat them in the Cup, then lost in the league. Purely based on the fact that Wolves are quite bad this season, anyway.
Yeah, they're not the best this season. I would expect Southampton to probably come away with the win on this one. I think Wolves got a couple of injuries out. Fabio Silva's not really been at the races this season. And I think Southampton are just sort of in that mind frame again of after the 9-0 to Leicester, when they just sort of turned up and they just put their results right. I know they had quite a bad loss to Newcastle, but I think in fairness, Newcastle were pretty good. So I would expect Southampton to bounce back from this one. Just like they have to, really, to be honest. Mm. And no, especially after they were quite comfortable in the FA Cup from what I saw in that match.
No, I think I'd agree. I think it's a game they kind of need to bounce back in. But, like, would we back anyone? Like, I mean, I know they didn't concede any to Wolves, but I don't know. Is this you about to get onto Mohamed Salisu potentially as the as the saviour for Southampton's season.
Appearance, a clean sheet, even though I called it a hat-trick in the group chat last night.
Yeah, I don't know why I did that.
The really weird slip of the tongue. I don't think he'll come into this league game. I think if you're going to have any Southampton player, I'd probably only go for probably Danny Ings. I mean, James Ward-Prowse is maybe a wee sneaky shout because if they get a free kick, he'll score it. But I'd avoid all Wolves players, to be honest.
I think I've still got Roman Saiss in my team for some reason. I really don't know why. I need to ship him off as soon as physically possible, but not while I'm already taking a points hit this week. So a Southampton win in that one from Struan. I'd probably back that as well. Maybe not a clean sheet. I think Wolves might try something a bit different, try and get themselves
what, attacking?
Yeah, maybe actually. Yeah, attacking might actually get them closer to a win than not attacking would. Who would have thought it?
Hey. Who'd have thought? Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Jamie, let's come to you for our next wildcard option. Chelsea versus Newcastle, as we mentioned just in the early talking point of Arsenal versus Leeds. Callum Wilson is unavailable for this game. He is out for 6 to 8 weeks. Realistically, they're going to be playing Joel Linton up front again against Chelsea this weekend. And Chelsea are still moving through the gears under Tuchel, still starting to find their rhythm. I think last weekend in the league, Sheffield United were the only team that Chelsea have faced recently that have really taken the game to them and pressured their midfield and their backline more effectively and gave them a real game out of it. But I'm not exactly expecting the same level of performance from Newcastle. I don't know about you.
It's away from home, I suppose, isn't it? Sheffield United seem to have a bit more fight in them nowadays. Newcastle do seem just a bit lame. You know, they got that result against Everton, which was, I think, a massive surprise for a lot of people. And they deserved it that day. You know, I thought they played very well that day. I thought Callum Wilson was the difference that day. Scored both the goals, obviously. And now, obviously, he is going to be missing for some time. So Cameron said on Extra Time yesterday, I think it was, that he thought they would get relegated. I don't think they will get relegated, but I don't think they will pick up anything from Stamford Bridge on Monday night. Chelsea's defence has started to kind of come into its own recently. They've kept some clean sheets against some very good teams. Kept a clean sheet against Barnsley, Tottenham, Wolves and Burnley. So, they're really coming into their own now. So if they can continue being solid at the back, then I'm sure somebody in attack will come up with a goal. There's a lot of attacking quality in that Chelsea team. We've spoken about it many times. It hasn't quite gelled yet, but there are players there that can score goals. And as long as the defence keeps being solid, then I think Chelsea will probably get the better of Newcastle by a tight margin, 1 or 2-0. I'm not quite sure which one yet.
Is this the week for Timo Werner?
Well, I mean, he got an assist against Tottenham, did he not? So was that not the week for Timo Werner? Are we talking purely on goal scoring?
I think we need to talk about goal scoring at this point because he assisted both goals against Sheffield United, didn't play against Barnsley. So the next step up is a goal, logically, for building to something.
It's a good point. It's a good point. The points are rising in fantasy. Struan is finally getting his money's worth for sticking by Timo Werner.
You all laughed at me. Just wait.
But we're not, well, we are laughing. I'm pretty sure we are still laughing.
Oh, yeah, we are still laughing.
Maybe it is the week for Timo Werner. We've got a couple of favourable fixtures as well. I think we play Southampton next, and they haven't really been in particularly good form recently. Going by their previous start of the season kind of form, they've kind of dipped a wee bit.
Mm-hmm.
Although they did get a good win in the FA Cup at Molineux the other night before the big Champions League game, obviously, as well against Atletico. So maybe you could bring Timo Werner back into your teams if you got rid of him earlier in the season. I'm not sure I'll be doing it.
No, I don't think I'll be doing it either, personally.
I'm not sure I'll be doing it, but this may be the week for Timo Werner. I mean, look, home game against Newcastle. He's probably not going to get many better opportunities to score a goal, you would think.
I think the away game against Newcastle, he fluffed about three, did he not? Clear-cut opportunities for him.
I can't remember. I just know we'll create chances, so I would imagine he would get his chances in this one. But I'll say 2-0 Chelsea. And, oh, go on, let's go Timo Werner.
Yeah! Fingers crossed for that to end up happening. Cameron, I'll come to you for the final wildcard option of this episode. Everton versus Manchester City, both teams' second game of the game week playing out on Wednesday night at 8:15. I think this one's just got more intrigue around it based on that inevitable Pep roulette that we mentioned for City's earlier game. Just seeing who's all going to be available, most likely to start twice in a row. And there's the Calvert-Lewin conundrum as well, because there's still doubts over his fitness or whether he'll play at all over the next couple of games. So how are you kind of viewing this one? Like, are you looking forward to it? Are you scratching your head trying to shape your team?
No, I'm dreading it, because what I've done before today, I had Stones, Diaz and Calvert-Lewin. That was my three players for that game. I've kept Stones and Diaz, right? I replaced another defender for Wan-Bissaka. Kept both of them, hoping they'll both play both games, probably won't. But I've done something really stupid. I got rid of DCL, mainly just because in a huff that he got 12 points on my bench last week. And I brought in, it's purely out of spite, and I brought in Watkins. And actually, you know what? Now that I'm looking at it, I genuinely wish I either kept DCL or I brought in Timo Werner. I'm not even joking. That's not sarcasm.
Oh, wow.
Actually, I backed Timo Werner for this game against Newcastle. As I've said, Jamie mentioned it there, I think they'll get relegated. Oh, certainly, it's very possible. I've also just heard that they've got Manquillo and Char both out for
Well. They both get injured.
So their defence is hopeless. Like, absolutely hopeless. Restrained myself there. Yeah, so now I'm looking at it. I brought in Watkins. I kind of wish I'd kept DCL or just brought in Werner. But anyway, back to the game. Yeah, I think it'll be a good game. A major headache for everyone listening, I'm sure, because people have Everton and City players all about their team. And this is one where even Ancelotti, he's not known really for rotation, but you know, if you're coming up against a team like City, they want to hold the ball so much, you're probably going to have fresh legs out there to do all the pressing and hit them on counter-attacks, however Everton want to play. So yeah, a really tricky one this week. I'm not sure how it's going to go.
It's going to be very tricky. Like, I just don't know who to back. Like, part of me just wants to completely rip my midfield to shreds, bring in Gundogan or Foden, but I know that one of them is probably not going to start in both games. Pep Guardiola is the ultimate enemy of Fantasy Premier League. This is what I've settled on. This is what we've talked about, but we need it officially said. Guardiola is undesirable number one, if we're going in Harry Potter terms, which we went a lot in the quiz last night. It's going to be tough.
100%. I know you're going to ask me for like an opinion on the score, and actually I can't think of what it will be.
I think it'll be quite an entertaining game, to be honest.
Yeah, hopefully. Obviously, we hope that. I don't think it's on Sky, so I may actually be able to watch this one on Wednesday. But, I'm going to go with 2-1 City. I'm going to go 2-1 City. And you know what? I think I'll copy Struan from earlier. I think I'll pick Phil Foden. I think he'll play this game. And I think Phil Foden will be the key player for this one.
Lovely. Lovely, lovely stuff. Right, that is going to cover all of the individual games that we're planning on talking about today. Now we are going to close out the show by assembling our Locked In 11. And this is Locked In 11. This is the segment of the show where we look at games we've discussed, games we've avoided, to try and get the best possible set of players for you to succeed in your mini leagues this weekend. We always start with our goalkeepers and defenders because they both benefit off of clean sheet points the most. So, Struan, who are we backing to keep clean sheets in this Premier League game week?
I've gone for my keeper's Ederson because he's got the double game week, and I do fancy Man City to keep at least one clean sheet, more likely against Tottenham than Everton at least this weekend.
I like that. No, I'll back that. Yeah, I've kept Everton. Goodness me, Ederson in. There we go.
Defensively, I've got Diaz. He's a double game week mentioned. He does have an illness apparently, but Diaz really strikes me as the type of player who would probably play through an injury. I don't think he's kind of get. Reece James on my bench. I brought him in this week because my other two defenders are Robertson and Alexander Arnold, and I fancy them for this Leicester game.
I like that. Although it is very bold going both Liverpool fullbacks.
Yeah, I know. I don't know who to. I want to bring Reece James.
14.5 million gone.
I know, but at the same time, other than Salah, I don't know another Liverpool player to trust.
That's a fair point.
Ben Davis could be my new Timo Werner.
I don't know if it's ever going to get that far, Stuart. Jamie, what about yourself? Who are you backing to keep clean sheets this weekend?
Well, I said earlier that I hadn't made my transfer just yet. I was kind of waiting to the last minute to see if there's any kind of further developments in the morning with regards to certain players that I currently have in my team. Ederson's my goalie. I agree with Stu, and I think you'd be daft not to put him in, personally, if you've got him, that is, with a double game week. I could see them keeping two clean sheets, to be honest, if Everton are missing Calvert-Lewin, and I'm not sure Tottenham will bother to attack. So two clean sheets for me, for Man City. I've got Diaz, Cresswell and Chilwell as my current back three. Cresswell, I fancy a clean sheet at home to Sheffield United. I did say they're getting a bit more bite in them defensively. They're becoming a bit bit more harder to beat, but I'm still not convinced on them going forward. Chilwell, I think, is a good bet for Chelsea. Marcus Alonso played the FA Cup game last night against Barnsley, so I would imagine Chilwell will probably come back in and play as a left back, left wing back, depending on the formation. And I could see I think Chelsea will probably try and play with a bit of width, to be honest. Or I hope they will. That's what they've kind of been doing recently under Thomas Tuchel. So I think if Chilwell's maybe going to get balls in the box for perhaps Giroud, I don't know. Abraham obviously played last night, so perhaps Olivier Giroud might get the start and Chilwell will be firing balls into the box for him to get his big noggin on. So I think Chilwell could be good for an assist and a clean sheet. And I've got Diaz as well as my third defender currently in my starting 11. Double game week, but obviously a doubt. So he may be swapped for Cancelo, maybe.
Man, it's a definite option.
City for City. But I was quite keen to bring in Phil Foden as well. I've got Gundogan in my midfield, but that's getting ahead of myself. So Diaz, Cresswell and Chilwell just now for me. But I have got Maguire and Rob Holding on the bench if I choose to get rid of Diaz.
It might well be a decent option for you to do so. Cameron, who are we backing this week then?
Well, I've got two City boys as well, as Jamie was saying there. I've got Stones and Diaz. I've got both of them starting. I've got Konsa benched, but I'll go into that game in a wee sec. I brought in Wan-Bissaka this week. They've got West Brom. I think either he'll, even if they don't keep a clean sheet, I still think he might do something in attack because he seems to have been venturing forward far more than usual recently. But the real game that was sort of, I couldn't quite decide on, was Aston Villa-Brighton. Like, Brighton, I think their last six games have ended 1-0, 0-0 or 1-1. And so low scoring. And I think Villa, they've kept three clean sheets in their last five, but the two games they haven't was Burnley and West Ham, who, maybe this is a bit harsh, especially in West Ham, but kind of hammer thrower teams, like big men like Sushek, Antonio, and also Burnley, pretty much everyone in their team is just a massive lump. So, I couldn't really call this game, so I went with Martinez and Dunk, hoping that at least one of those two teams will keep a clean sheet. Maybe it'll just be a wee 1-0 between those two. So yeah, sorry, my back five's Martinez, Wan-Bissaka, Dunk, Stones and Diaz.
I like that. I like the Dunk shout. Like, we never hear much of Lewis Dunk anymore. There's a point last season where he was one of the most informed defenders in the game. And everyone was trying to get a bit of Lewis Dunk.
His last five has been 8, 6, 6, 8 and 9. So like, not bad. So I thought I'd take a punt on him. Ooh. See what happens. Yeah.
I like that. You make me reconsider everything, Cameron, in God's sake. The Lewis Dunk shit has thrown me completely off kilter.
That's a red card and an own goal for him this weekend.
Almost certainly, mate.
The hat trick.
Well, I'm backing Ederson. He is my goalkeeper. Cancelo is also in my team, both obviously playing the double game weeks, and I think they're probably most likely to start, both of them, in both those games. I've got Tyrone Mings in my team. He'll probably start away to Brighton. I don't trust either Andy Robertson or Roman Saiz, but I'm not exactly free to move either of them out at the moment, especially when I need to address the James Justin issue, as he obviously is not going to play the rest of the season. So I'm thinking Aaron Wan-Bissaka, because I think it's West Brom this weekend, and then it's a fairly favourable fixture next weekend as well, before Chelsea the following weekend.
Newcastle.
Well, there we go, exactly. So I feel like Man United may well keep two clean sheets on the bounce, and I think Wan-Bissaka might be the best option to bring in for that, considering, as Cameron said, he's probably likely to get in some involvement up the pitch at some point across the next couple of weeks. I would have kind of considered maybe someone like Kufal or Cresswell, but the problem being they're about to hit a fairly tough run of fixtures. I think United, City, Leeds, and then someone else fairly difficult as well for West Ham in the next month or so. So I inclined to avoid West Ham defenders for the time being, and I think I'll be backing Aaron Wan-Bissaka, as I said. So let's move up into...
Can I just quickly jump in?
Absolutely, there? You can.
I was just going to say, United have got Chelsea and City away, I think, after that Newcastle game. So if you were going to bring in United defenders, they might not be staying in your team for very long, or staying in your starting 11 for very long anyway. Chelsea and City away, two tough fixtures, you would have to say, despite Chelsea's inconsistent form anyway.
No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely bang on with that, mate. But quick fixes and then long-term problems can be addressed. I think I will have enough money in the bank to bring in someone else to replace Roman Saiz in the next couple of weeks anyway, should my team allow me to do so. So I feel like I might make the Wan-Bissaka shout now, leave him on the bench for a couple of weeks and then bring him back. There's all sorts of thoughts going around in my head just now, lads. There's a lot going on up there concerning fantasy. So don't worry about me. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Up into midfield now, lads. Who are we backing from our midfield picks this week? Jamie McIntosh.
Let's have a look. Who have I got in my midfield? I've got five in midfield, it would appear, at the moment. This is obviously subject to change. I'll say that again. Currently, I've got Suchek, Rashford, Grealish, Gundogan, who is captain, and Fernandes. I think Fernandes is just as... I don't know how many percentage of players have got Bruno Fernandes.
59.4.
Fucking hell. I thought it was about 50, to be honest. I thought it was a little lower than 59. That's got to be the most in the game.
It is the most in the game by 5.4% ahead of Heung-Min Son.
I was just going to say, do you know who second is? That's very good knowledge there, Mr. Host. You're well prepared today.
I've got the app on my phone as we speak.
Grealish, we're kind of right to touch on Brighton being relatively low scoring. I could see Villa sneaking that, to be honest. I think they'll probably hit on the counter. Brighton, I think, could probably have the majority of possession. Villa are very good going forward. Grealish hasn't really scored that many goals recently, but he has been involved in a lot of the goals. Mm-hmm. Watkins has hit a bit of form. I've got him in as well. That's a spoiler for my attack, though. Rashford, we've touched on West Brom, how just utterly pish they are defensively. And Thomas Suchek, another good asset at a relatively cheap price. He's not overly reliable because I seem to play him when he doesn't get any points and then bench him when he seems to get loads of points. So he does kind of do good game week, bad game week, good game week, bad game week. He's not particularly consistent, but I've got him in my five-man midfield for the time being.
Well, the good news is he just had a bad game week, so by that logic, he will come good this week.
I suppose.
After his red card was rescinded, we actually have access to him this weekend, which is a bit of weight off the shoulders because I was having to juggle many plates if Suchek was ruled out, and I was not looking forward to dealing with that situation.
I was wondering how many people have actually already got rid of him as well before the red card was rescinded, because I was thinking, he's sitting on my bench, and I was like, I'll just get rid of him, and I was like, nah. Because they might appeal and they might get rescinded and all that. So,
can I just tell you what, Jamie? I'm looking at his thing now and it's 50,000 transfers in, 320,000 transfers out.
Yeah.
So,
second most this week, only behind Wilson, who's had 700,000 transfers out.
Wow.
DCL must have had a few, is he not?
Let me have a look.
I feel like there's chance bloody loads of players that must be getting.
DCL's 144,000. Antonio's 224,000. Oh my god!
That's a shock. He's likely to play. Yeah.
But I seen today. I think FPL General tweeted that there are now 8 million registered users on this season's game of Fantasy Premier League. So I think if you look at your worldwide result, and if it's in, you're in a fairly decent percentile if you're in the top million. Just making myself feel better because I'm doing badly. Cameron, who's in your midfield this weekend, mate?
My midfield's a tricky one. I've left out Barnes, definitely, against Liverpool. I know that's a risk, but I don't know. Harsh to say he's been underwhelming. He's always done, like, bang average, but compared to, like, Maddison and Tielemans, I've not been too impressed with him. I'm not sure if Rafinha's going to start for me, Arsenal away, because I might bring in Antonio up top, and if Antonio doesn't play, no problem. Like, he'll fill in. But yeah, my definite three is going to be Bruno, Sushek and Salah. I think that's quite a basic middle three, but they're definitely going to start. So yeah, maybe Rafinha as well.
It's a basic middle three, but it's a consistent and effective middle three. So you can't really be faulted for that at all.
That's it. I can improve it. I've got taken out Son for Rafinha. I've got over 6 million, so I can definitely bring someone else, like another big gun in there.
Yeah, exactly. You've got the funds to work with. Should they be required?
That's it.
Struan, how about yourself? How's your midfield looking this weekend, lad?
So I've got Sterling, who I've captained for the double game week. Suchek, because he always scores goals. Saka, because I backed him. And I've got Heung-min Son, who I think I might venture Reece James at the moment.
Oh, that's a big call.
Because I just feel even if Chelsea don't do anything, I feel I'd get more points from Reece James. Just maybe a clean sheet, because I just don't know if Heung-min Son's going to get anything against Man City. But it's the fear of missing out, isn't it, that I take him out, and then all of a sudden, within 10 minutes of the game, he's done the same against City as well, and he's broken through and scored.
Yeah.
I've also got Emile Smith-Rowe on the bench, who was very good. As I said, like when Arsenal kind of had their form, and he's just sort of dipped as well now. So I'm just all over the place at the moment in my fantasy. I don't know what to do. I really don't.
It's that point of the season, mate. Like, what else can we say?
Honestly, like, Reece James or Heung-min Son is never a decision that I should be making, and I just can't pick.
Having to make it.
Yep. Oh, it's tricky. I think I'm gonna stick with Son.
Stick with Son.
Watch Reece James get an assist and a clean sheet now, and Heung-min Son drop a stinker. Honestly. Honestly. Oh.
I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest. My midfield, I'm going to play four in the middle. I've just made my two transfers, and they're the exact ones I just mentioned. But my midfield, I've got Bruno in. I've got Mason Mount in. I think he's been electric for Tuchel's Chelsea since he came in. Obviously scored the opening goal at Bramall Lane last weekend. Thomas Suchek's in there at home to Sheffield United. And then James Ward-Prowse, he was my free transfer last weekend. Scored a free kick, which I was more than happy about. So I feel like he could do a job against Wolves. I do have Youri Tielemans on my bench. Again, I'm playing three up front, and if one of my strikers doesn't play, he will come on automatically, as he will definitely play in that game at home to Liverpool. Now let's move up to strikers. Cameron Wanstall, I would like to know who is leading your line this weekend.
I've mentioned it. I'm still not sure. I'm uncertain on Antonio. I might bring him in, because if he doesn't play, it's harmless. He'll get subbed out. But because they're playing Sheffield United, but definitely starting will be the lad I've just brought in, Watkins, and I've still got Bamford, so I'm hoping he'll still replicate something. So Watkins and Bamford, potentially Antonio.
So Antonio, is he on your bench just now?
He's currently on my bench, but he might replace Rafinha. I'm not sure. It's not quite the quandary that Struan's in, don't get me wrong, but it's one I cannot decide. I'm not sure.
I have the exact same strike force.
Do we?
I've just brought in Bamford for Wilson, and I'm going to start all three of them on the basis that I think... It says that Antonio on the app has a 75% chance of playing because he's fatigued. He didn't play midweek in the FA Cup, so...
And Moyes has said that they'll assess it on the day, but he should be okay. Like, it'll be a close one, but I think it's likely he will play.
So I feel more comfortable starting him over starting Tielemans in midfield, because I feel like he'll have more to contribute than Tielemans will against Liverpool. Yeah. But if he doesn't play, then Tielemans can come on for him, and it's no problem at all.
Yeah, good shot.
So that's my front three. Watkins, Antonio and Bamford, all English trio that are all less than £7 million. I feel like that's a very, very similar strike force to a lot of people up and down the country. Struan Garvey, what is your attacking force looking like this weekend?
Watkins, Lacazette and Timo Werner. The main man.
The main man.
The main man. He's going to prove everybody wrong when he scores some more goals. He's got two assists in the last one. Even one of them was a penalty. Still counts on fantasy.
Yeah, still counts.
And I seem to be a curse, because as I've mentioned about these Arsenal players, I put these Arsenal players in because they were in good form in December, and I've gradually put them in. And as soon as I have, they've just stopped being good. And this has been quite a common theme this fantasy season whenever I put players in. And I thought at the time, you know, Lacazette's a really good shout. I think he had the best goals to game ratio in the Premier League at one point, probably not anymore. And he hasn't scored a goal since I put him in my team about 3 games ago. So Emile Smith Rowe hasn't had an assist, and neither has Saka, I don't believe. I think he scored an offside goal against Wolves. That's about as close as it came. So, yeah, I am fully jinxed at this thing. But, yeah, Lacazette, Werner and Watkins up front.
I like that. Jamie McIntosh.
I just ask, is Timo Werner captaining your team this week, Stuart?
No, he's not. Raheem Sterling, only because he has a double game week. Had it not been for the double game week, Timo would have had the armband.
That's fair enough, yeah. Yeah, Gundogan's my captain as well, as I say, purely for double game week reasons. I've currently got Antonio and Watkins as my strike force. I have to say, look, you know, Mikel Antonio, obviously, fatigue, yes, as Jack says, is the reason. You know, it's nuts, really, because if only West Ham had another striker that they could have played up front instead of kind of running Antonio through the mill. I mean, God.
So, I've seen that guy at Ajax who signed in January has been on fire since he arrived.
Yeah, West Brom they got him from, wasn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, bizarre. So, look, I mean, I don't really understand that. Moyes said it wasn't part of the January transfer plan to sell Sebastian Haller, but, you know, they got a very good offer from Ajax and chose to take the money, and ultimately they've fatigued their other striker now by playing him every minute of every game. So, hopefully he's fit. It's a winnable game for West Ham, so I would like to think that they would play Mikel Antonio and, you know, maybe get themselves in front and then take him off after an hour or something. But, you know, surely try and give him the first hour. Surely he's fit enough for an hour. Maybe not fit enough for a full 90, but I've also got Ollie Watkins. I have to say, though, I am tempted to jump into the Timo Werner camp. Calvert-Lewin's on the bench. And yeah, you know,
wish
look,
I could.
Jack said that people have got similar strike forces just now with, you know, your Bamfords, Antonio, Watkins, whatever. Maybe this is the gamble that I need to take to try and catch Mr. Wonstall and Mr. Boyd, who are currently above me, is take a risk on Timo Werner. Well, it was Timo Werner or Josh Maggia, one of the two.
If you ever thought at the start of the season you would have to scratch your head over whether bringing Timo Werner or Josh Maggia into a fantasy team, I would have laughed you out of town, man, honestly. That's fantastic. And with that comparison, that brings this episode of the Fantasy Ramble to an end. Thank you very much for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the Ramble wherever you get your podcasts to make sure new episodes show up automatically on your feed. And follow us over on Twitter at Fantasy Ramble to see all of our host predictions for this game week's fixtures. Thank you very much to Struan, Jamie and Cameron for joining me today. Make sure to check out the football roundup on Monday and Extra Time next Thursday before we return on Friday as usual. Until then, my name is Jack Donnelly. This has been the Fantasy Ramble by Energy Sport. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time.